as they're heading down, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Amen, right there, right? Our new look, our new self looks completely different than the old self. There has been a change in the way that we look, but not physically. Physically, we're the same people, but inside, our hearts and thoughts are completely different. Let me give you an illustration. And again, I kind of love this illustration. It's in the movie Air Force One. Harrison Ford plays the president in this movie. In the end of the movie, the president's plane, Air Force One, is about to crash in the ocean. Another military plane was right beside them, stretching a wire across to Air Force One to get people across. People in Washington, D.C. were anxiously waiting to hear if the president got off the Air Force One before it crashed in the ocean. The last one to cross the wire into the military plane was the president. And when he safely got on board the military plane, the pilot reported to Washington, D.C. He said, "Liberty 24 has now become Air Force One." I love that. Liberty 24 has now become Air Force One. Did the plane change? The plane didn't change at all. What changed was who was inside the plane. The president of the United States made the military plane Air Force One. When Jesus comes into our lives, do we suddenly have a new body? No, but we come, but Him coming into us changes our identity. That military plane is not going to go out and put itself in the battle anymore with the president on board. The military plane's identity changed. They're getting out of the fight and getting the president back safely home. When Jesus comes in, we are changed. We are a new creation in Christ. We don't live the same lives that we used to live. We live by the truth that we're taught. So turn with me to Numbers 9, if you would. We're going to look in Numbers 9. When the Spirit lives in us, we want to live by the Spirit. Today we're going to see the Israelites, who were God's people, followed God each day as they traveled in the desert for those 40 years. We also need to sense the Spirit's direction in our lives each moment. Not have our own agenda planned out, that we're not open to God's moving. I love this passage here in Numbers 9. It really speaks to my heart. So Numbers 9, 15 through 23. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at His command they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then at His command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only for an evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's command in accordance with the command through Moses. Now, the first thing I want to see here today is follow God by the Spirit. Follow God by the Spirit. All three points that I'm making today are really application points. Let's apply all of them to our lives today. So application right at the start. We don't follow an external cloud to follow God, but the Holy Spirit as He reveals God's Word to us. I always find this passage amazing. They had to be ready to follow the Lord at any given moment. Verse 17 and 18 says, "When the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at His command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp." So do you hear total dependence upon God? This passage goes on and says sometimes they would settle in a place overnight, another time a month, sometimes years. They were solely dependent on watching for God to move, and they were ready to move at whatever God told them to move. But I want you to see a huge difference for us than for the Israelites in this passage. For this is a huge truth to me. We, just like them, need to be ready to move at a moment's notice. Not get lost in our little worlds and God move on and we're still where we're at. But the difference is, they were looking at external things. They were looking at the cloud. They were looking at the pillar of fire. We have to be in touch with the internal, the Spirit inside of us. The Old Testament was more about external things. The law was external. Your actions. The New Testament is more about internal. The condition of your heart and your motives. The law, the external, says do not commit adultery or murder. These are external actions that you commit. But the new covenant in Christ Jesus, we are held to a higher standard. If we look at a woman lustfully, we've committed adultery with her in our hearts. If we have hate in our hearts for our brothers, we are murderers. The Spirit inside of us changes not just our external behaviors, but it changes us inside. Many people are trying to be led by outward circumstances. This door opened in my life, so it must be from God. Can I tell you something important today? The devil knows how to open up doors as well. You have to discern whether the door opening your path is from God or from Satan. Just because you have an opportunity come into your life doesn't mean it's God's plan for your life. I confess that it seems like it'd be so much easier to be led by a cloud than the working of the Holy Spirit. Because my eyes can see when the cloud moves on. But to walk by the Spirit, we have to be in a close relationship with Jesus. We got to remain close in our walk with the Lord to discern. We have to discern how He's moving from moment to moment in our lives around us. Galatians 5:25 says this, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." The Israelites just lived minute by minute waiting to see what God was going to do next. What does that look like for us? It's not looking up in the sky and seeing a cloud move or not. It is looking into God's Word. It's being in prayer. It's spending time in worship. It's abiding in Him. That's what it's all about. Abiding and being obedient in Him is walking with Him. It's not a cloud that we follow anymore. We follow a person. We follow Jesus through this guidance of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I don't know about you, but I love it when I hear God's direction early on in a case, in a situation. And I don't have to sweat about it and have to wrestle with it for a long time. But for me, it rarely works out that way. A lot of times, it's the last moment God gives me the next step to take. Usually, it's a wrestling match in me that I have to continually abide, continually spend time with God, and really kind of painfully seek out God's direction that He has for me. God is basically giving us two commands here. Go when I tell you to go, and stay when I tell you to stay. We need to do that even when it messes up our schedule. It doesn't make sense to us. Even when it logically doesn't make sense for me to do this. A good example of this is back in Acts chapter 8. Philip was seeing a revival in a Samaritan village. People were coming to know the Lord. And then the Lord told Philip, go to a desert road. And I could just see Philip being like, what in the world? There's a revival going on here, and you want me to go off into a desert road? Why should I leave this place? But Philip was obedient. He went and he met one man on that road, an Ethiopian eunuch. He brought this man to the Lord. When he calls you to do something, you do it. God had a reason for Philip to go down to this lonely desert road. Philip wanted to bring a city to know God, but God said, I want a nation to be brought to me. It's not up to us to dictate how God moves. We are just to follow and be obedient. We are to be open vessels to go and do whatever He wants us to go and do. You look at the New Testament and you see the same thing. The disciples continually lived minute by minute just going where Jesus wanted them to go. The disciples didn't dictate to Jesus where they should go. They just followed Him wherever He went. Jesus set the pace. He laid out the plans. The only agenda the disciples had was to stay with Jesus. Can you see Peter arguing with Jesus, saying, no, Jesus, we shouldn't go there. We shouldn't go to this town. We shouldn't go back over there. Actually, you do see this one time. There was a time where Peter tries to change the agenda that Jesus had, and it didn't work out very well. Jesus said He was making His way to Jerusalem and that He was going to die upon the cross. Peter rebukes Jesus and tells Him, this is not a good plan. Come up with another plan. You don't need to die upon the cross. Well, we see Jesus' response to Peter in Matthew 16:23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Wow, it didn't work out very well for Peter to question Jesus' agenda. Nor does it work out well for us to push Jesus' agenda to the side and live out our agenda. We need to learn from the Israelites in this Old Testament passage and the disciples in the New Testament. Daily following God is letting Him set the agenda for today. You go where He leads you, not where you want to go. Well, let's move on to the second thing here today. The second thing we see is we need to be motivated by God's presence. We need to be motivated by God's presence. A person of faith desires to be in the presence of God. There's no other place that they would rather be than under the cloud of God's presence. We all know that God is present everywhere. This is a characteristic of God, an attribute of God. It says in Psalms 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. The Bible makes it clear that God is everywhere. But sometimes God's presence is overwhelming. There are just times that you can sense that God is filling a place with His presence. Like in this passage in Numbers, we know that God is all over the world at this time. But He manifests His presence for the Israelites to see through the cloud and the pillar of fire. Now, manifestation is something I imagine that doesn't get preached very often, the manifestation of God. I looked up the definition of manifestation. It says, give evidence of being present. Giving evidence of being present. Again, God is present everywhere, but sometimes He gives a little extra evidence that He to prove that he is there. He reveals a little more of himself. Israel didn't want to leave God's presence. You can't blame them. Israel knew they didn't want to be in his presence every once in a while, but they wanted to be in his presence all the time. The desert would be a very hot place during the day and a cold place at night. So God's presence protected them from the unbearable heat during the day with the cloud. And God's presence in the fire at night protected them from the frigid temperatures. There's no way they could survive in the desert without God for 40 years. They would never have heard any of them say in the desert, "I know this cloud is moving on, but you know what? I don't feel like moving on today. I want to stay put. I just want to stay right where I'm at." No matter what was happening in their life, when the cloud moved, they knew it was for their own good that they moved on with the cloud. I realize that in my life. I don't care what's going on in my life. I want to stay in God's presence. No matter what's going on in my life, the first goal is to stay in his presence. I'm sure you'd be the same way if you've experienced God manifestation presence in your life. You would not be content to let the cloud leave without you. You know, I hear some people complain, "Man, I have to go to church. Why do I have to go to church? God is here at my house when I watch TV, so why do I have to go to church?" You're right, he is there with you. But I want to be in a place where God wants to manifest himself in a mighty way to his people. We need to have a hunger for God's presence in our lives, his overwhelming presence in our lives. Exodus 33:15 says, "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here.'" I hope you understand what Moses is saying here in this passage. Moses was saying that he would rather stay in the desert with God's presence than go to this promised land filled with milk and honey without the Lord. I would rather have you than have the promised land. I would rather have you than the blessings of your hand. Proverbs 15:16 says, "Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil." I would rather have little earthly value or success and be right in a right relationship with God and sense his presence than have all the toys of this world and be empty of his presence and not know him. The whole world knew that God's presence was with Israel, and the nations feared Israel because of that. People can know that God's presence is with you as well. Exodus 34:29 says this, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord." Moses' face glowed. His face displayed that he met with the Lord. Each time that he met with the Lord, people saw it. Can people tell that you have met within God's presence as well, that you have God's presence in your life? Not that your face glows, but you have a different countenance in your life. As Moses shows, the glory of the Lord goes with us. Moses didn't leave God's presence on the mountain when he left. We don't leave God at home in our prayer closet. We take his glory, his presence with us throughout the day. Wouldn't it be great if people could see God's glory and God's presence resting on you? When you enter a room, people can just sense that God's glory has come into the room because of your presence. I've said this before, and it just popped in my mind right now. I've said this before, but everybody lightens up the room. Some people lighten up the room when they leave, and other people lighten up the room when they come in. Do you lighten up the room when you come in? Do you have God's presence with you? There is a song that says, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." I mentioned that that Jesus does not change. He's the same today and forever. But he grows sweeter to me because I understand him more and more, and I get to know his goodness and his love and his grace. Psalm 65, 3 and 4 says, "When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with good things of your house, of your holy temple." It's not that we're filled with good things in our house and all this stuff. We are filled with good things in your house, your holy temple. He has given us salvation. He has given us a desire to grow in him, in his presence. Yet there should always be a deeper desire for more. Yes, I'm living in his presence, but God, I want more. Yes, Jesus become so much more precious to me. But I know if he shows me more of himself to me, I'll be drawn even closer and have even greater love for him. I love Exodus 33:18. This verse says right here, "Then Moses said, 'Now show me your glory.'" Wow. Moses, haven't you seen enough? I mean, just think of what Moses has seen the previous years of his life here. Moses saw the 10 supernatural plagues that God brought upon Egypt. He saw the dividing of the Red Sea and the destruction of the greatest army on earth of that time, the Egyptians. They didn't even have to raise a sword to defeat them. Moses saw bread fall from heaven to feed millions of people every day in the desert. He saw water come from a rock that to fill the thirst of 2 to 3 million in the desert. Yet Moses had the audacity to say, "Show me your glory." Moses kind of got used to seeing God's work in power. And Moses could not see enough. He wanted to see more of God. Show me more. I hope there is that kind of hunger in each of us. Yes, God, you have shown me enough to know that you are good and that you deserve to be followed. But God, I long for more. I want to see more of you in my life. Well, let's move on to the application here today. Is listen for God's direction in your life. Listen for God's direction in your life. God is always there to guide us if we just learn to follow his instructions. It's kind of like the GPS system in your cars. If you trust the lady's voice on the GPS, you follow her instructions exactly. The GPS will get you to the location that you are seeking. When you take a wrong turn, the GPS doesn't shut off and then say nothing and say, you know, well, if you're not going to listen to my instructions, then I'm done with you. That's not what the GPS says. The GPS says recalculating and gives you another route to take from the position that you're at now because of the wrong turn that you took. Sometimes when we try to follow God, we take wrong turns. Yet God doesn't clam up and say, well, they didn't listen to me, so I'm not going to talk to them anymore. He again tries to speak into our lives and get us back on the right course in our lives. I want you to see today that some people may have unplugged their connection to the GPS. That is the Bible. I can find my own way. I don't need the Bible to tell me what to do. Just like the Israelites to the promised land with the cloud of his presence, he wants to lead us today. God's Word and His Spirit, Holy Spirit inside of us, will lead us to the promised land of heaven. Unless, of course, you have unplugged the connection to Christ and try to find your own way. Maybe you feel like you know the way better and you know your life better than God knows your life. I don't know about you, but I made two decisions in life. One is I want to go to the promised land. And two, I want to follow God's leading because I know He leads me to the promised land. My way does not. Do you have the faith to follow God at any moment in your life? Maybe you feel confident following your own cloud instead of the cloud of God's presence. Life involves making many decisions about right and wrong. And God has given us a conscience to help us make those decisions. Unfortunately, the human conscience doesn't always give accurate readings. It's like a thermometer in urban areas. If you put an outdoor thermometer on the back of your house, and your house sits beside an expressway or a blacktop or another building, your thermometer can give you readings that are 5 to 10 degrees off of the temperature. Concrete, blacktops, bricks absorb and reflect heat. To get a correct temperature reading in urban areas, the National Weather Service has strict guidelines for ideal temperature exposure. A thermometer or sensor should be located over a grass in a white ventilated shelter 4 to 6 feet off the ground, at least 100 feet from all paved surfaces, and at least 500 feet from any building. Unless you meet those guidelines, you can't trust your thermometer. In the same way, under certain conditions, you can't trust your consciences to give you accurate readings on God's perfect will. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." Again, your way may seem right to you. It may seem okay. It may seem logical to you because you're wanting to go that direction. But if it leads you contrary to God's word, you are being deceived. Commit to always following God and his word. It says in Psalms 32:8-9, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and bridle, or they will not come to you." Again, I love that verse. Do you hear that? A horse and mule do not have the understanding to listen to their master. Wouldn't it be great if you didn't need a bit or a bridle to talk to a horse? Get the horse to do what you said. Just say to the horse, "Horse, take a left here." And the horse would take a left. Wouldn't that be great? But the horse does not understand, so it needs a bit and a bridle. Again, are you hearing this? Sometimes we are not very good at hearing the Lord's voice, and we need something external to get our attention. The Old Testament, the Israelites strayed from the Lord big time. They didn't listen to God. In the book of Judges, one of the key phrases in that book is they did what was right in their own eyes. There was no seeking God and what he wanted them to do. They just wanted to live for themselves. And since they were oblivious to God's voice, God sent them into exile. God did not want the people of Israel to ever leave the promised land that he gave them. But the people needed to be disciplined because they were not following him. Once they were in the promised land, they did not have the cloud to lead them anymore. That's an important point. They followed the cloud. They followed God. But once they were in the promised land, they didn't have that cloud anymore. And they took their eyes off of God and God's leading. His word that points us in obvious directions where he wants to lead us. The reason most people don't understand where God is leading them is because they haven't committed themselves to following God, regardless of which direction it takes them. To sit under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and to let him teach us and guide us. No matter where we're at in life, God gives us a direct line to him through his Holy Spirit and his word. If we are faithful in the truth we know about God and live it out, God will give us more truths about himself. But if we are unfaithful with the truth that we have about God, why would he give us more truths about himself so we don't even live those out either? We should live out what we know to be true. Philippians 3:16 says, "Only let us live up to what we have already attained." What truths do you know about God, but you have not been faithful in putting those truths into practice. If he leads, he wants you to follow. So again, follow him, not by an external cloud, but by abiding in him, listening to his word, and being led by his Holy Spirit. So at this time, I'm going to have the praise team come forward, lead us in our closing song. I hope you are willing to be led by Jesus instead of thinking that you can lead yourself and Jesus will just follow along with your lifestyle. Many people have domesticated Jesus. They have tamed him down so that Jesus will work in my life. He'll just kind of fit right into my life. Give me a little bit of Jesus so I feel good, but not enough for him to completely take control of my life. But let me tell you today, if Jesus isn't in charge of your relationship, you are not heading in the direction of the promised land. We may say, God doesn't care if I say this or do that. Well, yes, he does. Your way leads to death. God's way leads to life. Which way are you going to choose? So at this time, let's stand up together and let's sing, He Leadeth Me.